Well, hello, everyone, and welcome over to another episode of this Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tordio. Today's episode is being sponsored by Prize Picks. This weekend, the Israeli Defense Force recovered six hostage bodies inside of Gaza's most southern city of Rafah. Now, when they were found, it is said that these bodies had been dead for only 24 to 48 hours before the IDF actually discovered them. Now, that is a big deal, and we're going to be focusing on that a lot more today, particularly because Hamas came out with a new threat aimed directly at the hostages. And I found this, what you're about to see is this video that's coming straight, okay, from the Al-Qassam Brigade's Telegram channel. They posted this video right around 11 a.m. Central Standard Time today, and it was followed up with this little screenshot down here. Let's take a look at this video. We're going to listen to the words of the hostages. I'm going to explain to you why they're feeling that way, but then we're going to go over the threat of these hostages and what Hamas is saying about them.
ערב טוב לכולם, שמי רבנו אלכסנדר, בן 32 אשקלון. בשביל אוקטובר נחטפתי במסיבה בחניון רעים בזמן עבודתי. אנחנו מוחזקים בתנאים מאוד מאוד קשים. אין דברים בסיסיים כמו מים, אוכל, חשמל, היגיינה. כל הזמן יש הפצצות, אנחנו מפוחדים, בקושי מצליחים לישון. העבירו אותי כ-10 מקומות כדי לשמור על החיים שלי. אני פונה לבנימין נתניהו וממשלת ישראל. נכשלתם, הפקרתם אותנו ב-7 באוקטובר. ועכשיו אתם ממשיכים להיכשל בכל ניסיון לשחרר אותנו בחיים. אתם רק מנסים להרוג אותנו בשביל לא לעשות שום עסקה. ופה אני מבקש עזרה מהחברים שלי, מעם ישראל. השארתי בבית אישה בהיריון, ילד בן 2 וזוג הורים חולים. תעזרו להם לצעוק את צעקתי, תצאו לרחובות, תפגינו, תעשו הכל כדי שנצא מפה בחיים. אבל רק להזכיר לכם שבעסקת שליט שוחררו מעל 1,000 מחבלים, משפחה שלי, מיכל, תום, אמא, אבא, אנטון. תישארו חזקים ומאוחדים, אני בטוב, מתגעגע ואוהב אתכם מאוד.
שמי כרמל גת, בת 39, מבארי. נחטפתי מבית הוריי ב-7 באוקטובר, שם שהייתי עם בני משפחה נוספים.
Now, notice the words that she's using in this video. She says, I was arrested on 7 October. And you can hear the clock ticking in the background. That's there for a reason. And it's very clear listening to these hostages that they have been mentally brainwashed, or they are reading from some prompter under some type of threat.
שאני לא יודעת מה עלה בגורלם. אני מוחזקת בשבי, עם מעט מאוד אוכל, מים, תנאי היגיינה ירודים, הפצצות בלתי פוסקות, ובעיקר בלי לדעת אם אני הולכת לצאת מכאן בחיים. בשביעי באוקטובר אני, המשפחה שלי ושאר תושבי קיבוץ בערי, הופקרנו לגורלנו. אני מתחננת ומפצירה בפני ממשלת ישראל והעומד בראשה, מר בנימין נתניהו, בבקשה, בבקשה, הפסיקו את ההפקרות הזאת, תפסיקו את ההפצצות ותחזירו אותנו הביתה. אזרחי מדינת ישראל, אני מבקשת מכם להמשיך להפגין עבורנו, תמשיכו להילחם על החיים שלנו. אל תוותרו ואל תיתנו לדלת המסע ומתן להיסגר עלינו. משפחה יקרה שלי, אני מקווה שיש לי משפחה לחזור אליה. אני נשארת חזקה גם בשבילכם עד שהסיוט הזה ייגמר. אני אוהבת אתכם.
Exchange deal. Freedom and life. Military pressure. Death and failure. I want you to look at those words on the screen. An exchange deal equals freedom and life. Any pressure from the military equals death and failure. Now, that within itself is one hell of a statement. for them to put at the end of that video after showing the hostages who have clearly been under distress in order to make those messages. But when we look at what they actually posted afterwards, it is even more troubling. You have this poster here with blood running right down the center with a phrase that says, "Time is running out." A body bag in the middle and bullets and freaking missiles all the way around it. That is a very clear threat that Hamas is sending to the Israeli government. They are saying that if you continue to fight, that they will die. And if you want them alive, you will agree to the peace deal. Excuse me. Hostage / ceasefire negotiation. But it's really a peace deal because Hamas wants Israel out of the Gaza Strip. Not just now, but for all time. Now, this is not the first time that we have heard of peace negotiations or peace deals or ceasefire negotiations or ceasefire hostage trade. It's been going on since this war began, and it's only resulted in good positive effects a couple times. And it's been several months since that's happened. Why is that? Well, that's because Sinwar stated that the only hostage deal from now on that he is going to be negotiating in will include the complete and total withdrawal of all Israeli troops from the Gaza Strip, no questions asked. That is not an acceptable response for the Israelis, and we have not seen a peace deal or a hostage negotiation because of that, because Benjamin Netanyahu wants a complete and total elimination of Hamas so that they can no longer attack Israel. Instead, Hamas uses the 106 hostages still in captivity and threatens their lives in order to get the IDF to withdraw. Unfortunately for them, Benjamin Netanyahu has to weigh out the actual security of an entire nation and another October 7th style attack in the future, which could take far more than 106 lives. And haven't we heard these peace deal / hostage exchange negotiations in the past? This article comes all the way back from April, and it's titled, "Netanyahu says Israel will invade Rafah as Gaza ceasefire talks continue." Again, 30th of April, and the IDF was stacked up. That's the date of this article, 30th of April. And the IDF was stacked up outside Rafah for weeks at the time this article was made. And if you scroll down and you look, it says Hamas has repeatedly said it will not accept a deal that does not include a permanent ceasefire and a complete withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza, which have been major sticking points in negotiations. That hasn't changed to the best of my knowledge. I haven't seen it anywhere, for a matter of fact. But probably one of the more disturbing things in this article has absolutely nothing to do with Hamas's stance. I expect a ridiculous statement from Hamas. But as it's written right here in the article, Netanyahu has for months repeatedly pledged to go ahead with an invasion of Rafah despite public pushback from Israel's main ally, the United States. Kamala Harris has called for a two-state solution, and even to this day, the United States government continues to push for some sort of peace deal or hostage negotiation. Now, why is that such a big deal? Because that area that I was talking about is right down here, where it says Kerem Shalom. There is a border crossing right here on the map, and this is where the IDF was stacked up for weeks before heading into Rafah. And the reason they were stacked up to go in there and everything we were talking about at the time had to do with the hostages, which were being held inside of Rafah. IDF conducted a successful hostage rescue operation all the way back in February inside of Rafah and successfully recovered two hostages alive. The hostage bodies that they have since recovered inside of Rafah, the six over this weekend, the four from the week before that, all of them found inside Rafah. Had the Israeli Defense Force actually gone in on time, it could have prevented all of that. Instead, they have gone above what international law requires and have warned everybody in the city prior to them going in instead of cordoning off the area and searching it properly to get those hostages back. No, they let them leave. They let the hostages leave alongside the bulk of their Hamas fighters. And the moment Israel asserted a back out of the area, they went back in. That's what happened. And it's repeated itself across this entire conflict. It doesn't matter whether it was in Gaza City, pushing through Nusrat, pushing through Khan Yunis, all of that. It went down the exact same way every single time. But still today, we hear from our own freaking Department of State here in the United States. Let's hear what the Department of State has to say about hostage negotiations, because it's worked out so well for us in the past, especially since knowing all the way back in April that they will not, and by they, I mean Hamas, will not accept anything short of a complete and total withdrawal of Israeli Defense Forces from the Gaza Strip in exchange for hostages. Everybody in this country needs a way to unwind with all of the madness that's going on out there in the world. A good way to do it, in my opinion, is using Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks, your picks are still live. Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in as little and as quick as 15 minutes. Prize Picks invented the flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. I like to enjoy Prize Picks truthfully with my kids. They are way more knowledgeable in sports than I am, so it gives me a reason to kind of sit down and chat with them and pick their brains. It definitely gives us something to talk about, and I for sure enjoy the winnings that I get while playing. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code ROB and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code ROB on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Attending the festival. And when Hamas threw grenades into that shelter, he picked up grenade after grenade and threw them back out until eventually one of them blew one of his arms off. Hirsch continued to demonstrate that same courage for the 330 days he spent in Hamas captivity. Tragically, any deal to bring home the hostages will come too late for him. But there are dozens of hostages still remaining in Gaza, still waiting for a deal that will bring them home. It is time to finalize that deal. The people of Israel cannot afford to wait any longer. The Palestinian people, who are also suffering the terrible effects of this war, cannot afford to wait any longer. The world cannot afford to wait any longer.
Let's just stop and address those three big statements he made right there. Hirsch couldn't afford to wait any longer for the Israeli Defense Force to go into Rafah and actually save his life. And you know what? Even if he dropped a bomb, if the IDF had dropped a bomb and it took Hirsch out, at least he wouldn't have been subjected to torture for the last 3 flipping months. It is absolutely appalling that they are more concerned with the Palestinians than the lives of the hostages. You heard it right there. They can't afford to wait any longer. The Palestinians, the people who brought this on themselves, the ones who elected them into government, the ones who support, by large, over 70% supported Hamas going into Israel on October 7th, the over 80% of them that think no atrocities were committed on October 7th, after watching the videos, those Palestinians, those ones, the ones that continue to lie and gaslight the world on a daily basis, even though there's an IPC report filed on June 24th of this year stating there's no famine in Gaza. And yet still, our State Department sits here and blows the same smoke up our butts that they've been doing for the last freaking 10 months.
Over the coming days, the United States will continue to engage with our partners in the region to push for a final agreement. During talks last week, we made progress on dealing with the obstacles that remain, but ultimately, finalizing an agreement will require both sides to show flexibility. It will require that both sides look for reasons to get to yes, rather than reasons to say no. In a speech 2 weeks ago, John Poland, the father of Hirsch Goldberg Poland, said, "There's a surplus of agony on all sides of the tragic conflict in the Middle East. And in a competition of pain, there are no winners. That pain for Israelis, for Palestinians, for the region, has gone on for far too long. It's time to reach a ceasefire that brings the hostages home, that alleviates the suffering of the Palestinian people, and that ultimately brings an end to this war. And that's exactly what we will continue to push to reach."
The suffering of the Palestinian people. Apparently, this man has never had to pay for the consequences of his own actions. And while we're talking about suffering, let's talk about suffering and the type of suffering that the Palestinians have been faced to endure over time. Let's give it a look. Let's go in and just take a look at some of the suffering that these poor old Palestinians have had to endure over time inside of Gaza. Wouldn't it be a shame if there was things inside Gaza maybe that don't fit his narrative? I don't know. Something like a resort called the White Chalet that actually has 4.5-star review and people talking about how absolutely beautiful it is. Now, I know I've showed this before on this podcast, but a lot of people probably haven't seen it. It's not an open-air prison. Open-air prisons don't have 4.5-star rated resorts on freaking Google. Go ahead, go check them out. Go over to your state penitentiary and check out the freaking Google reviews on that sucker. Let me know how well those are. Let me know if you see rooms like this in that freaking prison. Even out in the open air portion in the yard where the inmates are working out. Let me know if you find that. Let me know if you see beautiful TVs and freaking everything else. This fallacy that the Palestinians are suffering because of the actions of Israel needs to end. Those hostages are suffering inside of Gaza, and every day that goes by, they continue to get tortured. Meanwhile, our State Department will sit there and tell you that they need a peace deal or some sort of hostage negotiation. And you can tell I'm getting a little bit frustrated right now because it's serious. It's serious not because Israel doesn't want peace. It's serious because Hamas wants war. Hamas wants to take over Israel and turn it into, I quote, an Arab Islamic land. Make no mistake about it, that's their goal. They want Israel to be an Arab Islamic land. That is no wonder why Netanyahu will not agree to pull all of the troops out of Gaza, even if they get every single last hostage back, which Hamas has even said they cannot guarantee because they don't control all of them. And even for the ones that they do control, like we saw, I don't know, what was it, 2 weeks ago, that they're just going to shoot them anyways. And so while we're sitting here debating this, those lives can get lost that way. What makes it okay to give Hamas the right to decide when they live and die versus Israel? It is absolutely unacceptable to be making deals with arguably one of the most radical terrorist organizations on the planet. It is appalling. And not only myself as an American, but if you're watching this from Israel, if you're watching this from anywhere in the world, you should be pissed off. You should be pissed off that people are trying to negotiate with terrorists who took a 9-month-old baby hostage. And yet our government and the rest of the world just thinks it's okay. Meanwhile, the same people that we're trying to negotiate with in good faith just murdered all 6 of these human beings. Yeah, let's negotiate with them. Let's come up with a way. Let's murder these people. If somebody was robbing a bank and shot 6 people, you think the FBI wouldn't be negotiating with them, trying to say, you know what? We'll let you not deal with it. You don't have to deal with the consequences. As a matter of fact, we're going to give you your own space in the middle of nowhere to do whatever the hell you want. Does that sound reasonable? Does that sound reasonable to do with a terror organization with over $10 billion in net worth in their freaking upper levels of leadership? Does it? Yet for some reason, our freaking State Department, this smug jerk off right here on the screen, thinks that's a good idea. And so is the Biden-Harris administration. And so do a lot of politicians over inside Israel. It is appalling that anybody can even consider, after 6 hostages are executed, giving these people a free pass. It is no longer about these hostages. It is, but it's also about the security of Israel, because up on their northern border is over 100,000 Hezbollah fighters and Iran that wants to wipe them off the state of the map, all because of BS politicians like this that are too scared to call Hamas on their BS. It is ridiculous. How in the God's green earth can you even, how can you even begin to negotiate with that terror organization? It is offensive. It's offensive. It's offensive. It's offensive. It's outright illegal, in my opinion, because you are guaranteeing that they are able to rearm, regroup, and reattack. And that is the same crap Israel has been dealing with since the dawn of time. It didn't work in the early 2000s. It didn't work in the freaking 60s and 70s. It didn't work in 48, and it's not going to work today. Absolutely ridiculous. When are we going to demand from our government that they treat terrorists the same way they treat criminals here in the United States of America? When? When are we going to demand from our government to treat these terrorists the same way that we would if our people were at stake, if American lives were at stake? And oh, by the way, they are. Absolutely appalling. And this gentleman right here missed a valid opportunity to stand there and be like, you know what? These guys are absolute monsters. It's no wonder why nobody wants to negotiate with them, because they just massacred 6 people this last weekend. And today they released a video at 1 o'clock threatening to kill more if we don't bend to their will. Kiss my... I'm out of here.